you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, August 30th, 2017. Gene Kovalt's on my mind in light of some of the news stories, the newspaper articles, in light of the testimony you shared the other day, which I think is not only fascinating, but one of those God-ordained moments, because you had been planning for some weeks to do a special ministry on his lawn, singing to him. And so I'm going to let you just jump in, give our listeners a little background. Probably many that live in around the Muhammad area were familiar with Gene Kovalt, his, I think, 10-plus years of driving a bus in the Muhammad district. Children loved him. He was known by probably all as a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Him and his wife, Mary Lou, she still survives him. And you know well, they attend the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad. But for our listener maybe unfamiliar with the legacy that Gene has left, give us a little overview of some of the things that have gone on the last few months, maybe the last few years. I've seen Gene at men's gatherings and in church on Sunday, and have known him just through the Community Evangelical Free Church. But you're preparing for his funeral, or I guess you would call it his homegoing service this Saturday.
Yeah, well, he's gone home. I mean, we'll just be shouting from a distance.
Celebrating the life or the legacy that he's left.
Yeah, well, I think funerals are important because funerals are not for the dead, they're for the living. They're for those of us who are left behind to ponder and to contemplate how we use our life and what we do with our life. And in this case, I mean, I just have to tell everybody, it is such a joy to sit down and to write and to pray through and to ponder a funeral service for a faithful and godly person. I mean, somebody who it was evident to all who he loved, who his first love was. I mean, he loves his wife, Mary Lou, but he loved Jesus Christ. And so to write that kind of a sermon is so easy. In fact, it's almost like that message is like, okay, well, I got to trim it because there's so much to say. But yeah, it was a little over maybe a year ago. Maybe it was a little bit more than that. It's kind of fuzzy in the rearview mirror. But Gene, he was diagnosed with cancer. He had cancer in his lungs. They got some of that. Well, they got most of it. They thought they got it all. And then they came back and they said, look, we didn't get it all, but we got a new medication that we want to try. And they put him on the medication and they got him in that. And during the course of that second round of the medication, so this is maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago, they came back and they said, look, because of some of the deterioration, the effects of the medication, you can't drive anymore. And one of the great joys in his life was he was a school bus driver. He loved it. Now, he retired from the airlines. He did not need to drive a school, but it was not a financial need to drive the school bus. And so he did it because he loved God and he loved people, particularly kids. I mean, his wife told me that he would come home from driving during the day and he would say, we got to go to the store and pick this and this up because this child, they need this and you know, we can help. And so he used the school bus was his ministry field. It was his place where he loved God and he served and loved people. Not only the kids who rode the bus, I think, but I think definitely there, but also the people around him. The testimonies that were on the news this past week with other bus drivers who were saying, you know, Gene is everything to me. Gene is, we've been on a faith journey with Gene. And so just how he touched and impacted other people's lives, because he was a faithful and godly man. So where he went, faith and godliness went with him. Where he went, he was doing ministry. He was always at the wheel doing work for Jesus Christ. And so the doctor said, look, you can't drive. So then kind of his love being able to drive the bus. But he always held on to the fact that I'm going to get better and I'm going to get back in the bus. I'm going to be able to drive again. And that was really kind of one of the about 2.5 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, in the rearview mirror is fuzzy, especially when there's so much that's been going on, the doctors came back and they said, look, medically, there is nothing we can do. I mean, we've ran out of all the options, and the only option now is to go home and get everything in order, and you probably have about 30 days. And so, you know, I can only imagine, you know, as a viewer, as somebody who's kind of in the audience watching that, what that felt like. Because for me, that was difficult. I was like, wait a second. I mean, I even told Gene, because he got that news, and you know, everybody knows how this is. The pastor's supposed to go, like, right away, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't go for a day and a half because I was mad. Like, I had to get alone with God and talk to him about this because I was like, God, you got to help me out with this. This is a faithful, godly man who loves you and loves other people. And wait, 30 days? And I know that when the doctors tell you 30 days, they're trying to make you feel good because it's not usually 30 days.
And Gene's, it was in his 70s?
Yeah, he was in his 70s, nearly close to the 80s. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they told him medically there's nothing we can do. And so he went home and, I mean, really, within 2 weeks, deteriorated to such a degree that, you know, he stopped drinking, he stopped eating, I think a few days ago. And then on Sunday afternoon, late Sunday evening, passed away. Went to go be with the Lord.
But 2 or 3 weeks ago, you got this idea of a way to bless him.
Yeah, well, you know, it was really interesting because I posted a song, a hymn, I think on Facebook. And I just said, this is for my friends. Oh, he will hold me fast. Because my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. And I just, right after that news had come, I posted that on Facebook and said, I am just listening to this right now. I'm praying for my brother and sister, Gene and Mary Lou. Because that song just for me exemplified just holding on to Christ mm-hmm. when this news is bad. And somebody in our church commented on the Facebook post and says, why don't we go to their house and sing this song to them?
Hmm.
And then I said, why don't we? Why wouldn't we? And it was so interesting because the next morning in our family devotionals, we've been in Hebrews, and the next morning it was, do not forsake the gathering together as in some are in the habit of doing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, wait a second. What if the people can't come gather? What if physically and medically, what if because of illness or whatever, they can't come to the church? They're not forsaking the gathering together. They would love nothing more than to gather together with us and worship the Lord, but they can't do it.
Mm-hmm. And I know even right now you're speaking to some listeners that are homebound or for whatever reason can't make it to the church.
Well, I'm speaking to pastors too and churches because this is what I learned. This is what this situation taught me. Is that these faithful believers, these faithful followers of Jesus Christ, have not forsaken the gathering. But I believe that the gathering has forsaken them. Because it doesn't say the church is in the building at 10:45 or 9:30 a.m. or whatever time it is on Sunday at the church. The gathering together is when believers get together and lift up the name of Jesus Christ and do his work. Mm. We make much of him. We gather together and lift his name up in a glorious way. And so I'm like, wait, so if that's all true, we can't forsake our brothers and sisters, as some are in the habit of doing. But instead, we need to stir them up towards love and good works. That's what Hebrews continues to go on to say. And so I said, we need to go over there and sing. So what we did on Sunday morning is...
And this is just a few days ago.
That is just a few days ago. On Sunday morning, what we did is... We gathered together. We sang two songs to open the service up, open our normal traditional worship service up. And then I gave a quick 10-minute devotional. I felt bad because there were a couple people who were visiting the church, mm-hmm. and they're like, is this how it always is? I'm like, no. Usually I talk way more. Usually I'm long-winded.
And I know the week prior, and you had made announcements that this is going to be happening. So everyone that comes next Sunday, you had said this 2 weeks ago, next Sunday, anticipate that will be a shorter message. Yeah. At like 11:20, we'll all load up into our cars, and then we'll head over. So take us through kind of that.
Yeah, and my wife was like, totally. She's like, you can't do it. Like, there's no way you can only talk for 11 minutes. And so it was like a big woohoo at the end because I, like, right on the mark, although Jake, who does worship and youth, he was on the side, like, you know, putting his hand to his neck, like, stop now. He was my help. I told him, I said, you let me know when I need to land the plane. And so it was kind of funny because it was like one of those where you're at 30,000 feet, and I went down to 500 feet in like a minute. And I think people were like, whoa. But people said it did the job. It was good. But yeah,
everyone loaded up in the car.
Yeah, so we sang a couple songs. I did that, and then I just gave some very clear instructions. And those instructions, I think, were so important, which was to say, look at, we're there to serve, and service means sacrifice. It means we don't get anything in return. If we go there hoping that Gene and Mary Lou will come out and wave to us or talk to us or allow us to pray for them, whatever, that's not serving, that's sacrifice. I said, we may not see them. They may be inside. I mean, we never saw Gene. He was inside. They opened up his bedroom windows, and from the bed he got to listen to the singing. But I just had some very clear instructions because I did not want us to add any tension or any of that to it. And so as the church, we went over there. I think we had 75 to 100 people show up. Our worship guy brought his guitar. Another one of our worship guys brought his guitar. A guy brought this thing called a cajon, which is like a box you sit on that you can keep. And, I mean, we sang for an hour on their front lawn at noon. And we got there at 11:30. And it was awesome. Yeah. It was so awesome. I mean, people got done, and people just were like, this was church. Like, this was really church. And it really transformed even my vision of what is church. And not the church no longer values the gathering within the church building, but are we so beholden to that we won't see to do something else, the more important thing? Because there was nobody on the back end of singing at their home that said to me, well, I think that was good, but I really wished we were in the building. Mm-hmm. You know, there was nobody who said that. And so I just saw the value and the strength of the church. And we had people in the community who got a hold of me, and they said, I can't believe you did. I mean, we drove by, and that was just beautiful. We couldn't even believe it.
And this was a small little side street in Muhammad, yeah, where literally I think you took up about three or four different blocks.
Oh, yeah, we were up and down. It was like you had thought that there was some, I don't know what you had thought there was, but there was cars on both sides of the street, up and down all these streets, because, I mean, we brought, you know, 75 to 100 people, and so we brought 50 or 60 cars, and I mean, it was crazy. And we had people who were there for the first time for church on Sunday morning who found themselves on a lawn singing and got done and goes, wait a second, this is what you're about? If this is what you're about, I think I'm in. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thinking I'm in, because this was wonderful. You know, and we had people who got done, and they said, look, you've just redefined for me what love is. Because if this is what loving as a church looks like, I want to do this. I want to be a part of this. And so there were so many amazing testimonies, but one of the really great testimonies that came out of it was Gene Kovalt passed not too long after that. And really the
hospice... That very day.
Yeah, that day and into that evening. The hospice nurse said that, you know, that could have been possibly one of the last, like, physical lucid thoughts that he had was hearing this music and worshiping. And they even said, his daughter said, that when we were singing How Great Thou Art, that he kind of grabbed the covers and kind of, you know, not sat, I want to say sat up, but kind of like stiffened up, like, and was responding. His eyes were open really wide, like he was hearing the music, you know, and she said, like, a tear came in his eye, and it was just like, you knew. So it was really funny. One of the people who were there, when I called him on Monday morning and I said, hey, I got the news that Gene had passed away, he said, oh, he said, He goes, our bad singing segued into the angelic voices of heaven.
The transition.
Yeah, and he goes, you know, singing from one degree to the next, as the Bible would say. But it was a great comment, because I thought, yeah, because I can't sing to save my life, you know, and I was singing. I mean, I kept having to go across the street because I was crying. I was just like, gosh, Lord, I'm just dumb. But out of that, such great testimonies, because if any of the listeners have caught it, there's been the testimony on Channel 3 News. The Muhammad Daily ran an article. Then the other newspapers picked up the article. And so this has been everywhere. And in every one of those places, there has been this forthright testimony that he's a Christian. And so out of this, there's been these great opportunities for testimony about who Gene is. What was really fascinating is I called the newspaper and I said, hey, can you guys put a blurb in the paper? Because Gene has been a faithful bus driver. 10 years, drove for the school district and loved being a bus driver. And they said, look, we're overrun. There's no way we can get an article put together and get that in the paper. And I said, I'll write the article. You guys can edit it, do whatever you want with it. And what's crazy, Mark, is they turned around and they actually printed exactly what I said, which included, you know, Gene has cancer, 30 days left to live, medically there's nothing to do. And then I wrote, but don't worry about Mr. Gene, because he's a Christian. Mm-hmm. And as a Christian, he believes that his sure and steadfast hope, his anchor, is in Jesus Christ. And they didn't edit it out. Uh-huh. And then out of that, about an hour later, after that news story showed up online, the girl from Channel 3 News shows up at the church. And she says, well, we just have been following this Facebook post, and we're seeing all the clicks and the likes, and we want to do a story on this. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, we want to do it at the church. Can we take some pictures inside the church? Can we take some pictures in the sanctuary? Can we take pictures? Yeah. And then can you tell us about this? And I was like, yeah. And so they put this, and we'll play these two segments. They did one initially, and then they did a follow-up one that played on Monday evening. And they've been following the story, and it's been a great testimony to his faithfulness.
Right.
And so here are the two news stories the Channel 3 ran.
A beloved bus driver is at another stop in his life. After 10 years of driving a bus, Gene Kowalt gave up his route this past spring.
Now his church is asking for people in the community for support. WCI3's Caitlin Connolly is here with us now. Caitlin, a pastor is asking his congregation and all of Muhammad to write letters?
That's right, Aaron. They want to show him that they appreciate him, and they want to do it as soon as possible because time is running out.
The buses drive off this lot to pick up the kids in Muhammad. But Gene Kowalt is no longer behind the wheel.
Gene's everything to me, everything to everybody here.
For 10 years, he picked up students and athletes. This year, he was diagnosed with cancer and was told he could no longer drive his bus.
And it was probably one of the biggest blows in terms of cancer.
Since stepping down in April, the cancer has only gotten worse.
I know how many kids came and said, "Where's Mr. Gene coming back? We miss him so much." And I said, "Well, maybe soon, you know, but we hoped it was going to be soon."
This week, he was told he has 30 days to live, and his medical treatment was over.
Cancer has really, really been hard. It's been a real battle.
As a bus driver, Lisa Duran knows his impact.
When he went on trips with the coaches and the team, they always wore ties and dress pants. Gene always came in with ties and dress pants on.
Duran and Kowalt don't only have a bond of driving. Her husband also has cancer.
He's bonded with him, and he loves them, and they've helped each other. I mean, it's just been a wonderful time of friendship and, you know, faith, a faith journey.
It's that faith he's holding on to, which is why his pastor is asking for help.
I think that one of the things that when we reach the end of our life, that we want to know is that we made a difference. We want to know that what we did, no matter how big or how small, was significant in the lives of others.
Now, that pastor told me they have 40 greeting cards at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad. If you come by, you can pick one up and send it to him. We'll have more information on how you can do that on our website.
And so, in case you're just tuning in, this is the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Pastor Jason Schiffo joins me in the studio, and we're just kind of honoring the memory of Gene Kowalt, survived by his lovely wife, Mary Lou. And Gene had his home going with the Lord just this past Sunday, literally some hours after the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad went to his property, stood on his lawn, sang a number of hymns. He loved music, and they wanted to minister to him and bring the church outside of the four walls. Jason got this idea after posting something on Facebook a couple weeks back, and somebody said, "Hey, we should go to his house and sing that song." And Jason kind of prayed it up, thought it through, and thought, why not end our church service that's usually going to about 12 o'clock a little early so everyone can pack up into their cars and go to Gene's house? And so that's a little bit of the story. But then Channel 3 also did a follow-up on Monday night.
Yeah.
And you're going to play that?
Yep.
Bus driver died this morning, but his legacy is far from over. This is an update from your news leader. Gene Kowalt was told he had just days to live last week, and we brought you the story of his pastor asking people in Muhammad to write him letters of appreciation. WCI3's Caitlin Connolly live in the newsroom. Caitlin, people answered the call to this bus driver. He had been driving a bus for 10 years, but it was too late.
That's right, Jennifer. Unfortunately, those letters didn't get to him in time. His passing was too soon, but his family says they're doing okay. I was with them today, and they say by knowing his diagnosis, they were able to say goodbye. The only notes he got were from this poster from a Sunday school class at his church. Kowalt died happy and in his bed. His wife, Mary Lou Kowalt, says he was ready and was at peace.
What the pastor said when they were here singing yesterday was that there would not be anybody in this community that would ever question that Gene was a Christian. And that's the impact he would want to leave.
They were married just short of 63 years. Yesterday, his congregation came to the lawn, as she said, and they surprised him. They sang his favorite songs, and he listened out his bedroom window. His wife promised him for better or for worse, richer or poorer. And today, she told me she believes she did just that until the very end. Jennifer?
All right.
Very sweet.
Gosh, I wrote two notes after listening to both of these news stories. One lesson that I'm learning, and maybe our listeners are picking up too, when you feel a prodding of the Lord or something, act on it immediately.
Sure.
Because you never know if you wait or procrastinate, and then it could be too late in the case of maybe you feel like you should call someone up today or send a card or a note or whatever it is. Follow up on those proddings right away. And then, as was mentioned, we all can have an impact. You might think your position or your job or what you're doing is insignificant or small, but you could have a profound impact that'll have a lasting impression on people for future generations. And don't ever minimize how God may, in fact, use you.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes your impact, you just don't know what that is. And that's okay. You know what? I think that almost that's God protecting us from pride, is because Gene and Mary Lou both wouldn't believe that. In fact, when I sat with Mary Lou Monday after we learned about his passing and my wife and I went over to console her and to sit with her and to talk with her, that was the one thing she said. She said, oh my gosh, I just can't believe that two old people meant so much to so many people. She goes, I didn't even think that that was possible. And so we don't know. We don't even know. And I think when we get a glimpse of that, we're almost overwhelmed with the fact that God has used us in powerful ways, but the most powerful ways that he's used us have probably been in the simple, everyday places that we would not say, well, that was a big ticket moment. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I mean, in the line in the grocery store, at the gas pumps, wherever you are, you know, if there's one thing you could learn from this, I think, is that every place that you are where the Lord brings you, sends you, works in you to work out of you, are powerful places where you can do gospel encouragement and ministry in and amongst the community, in the place where you're at. Mm-hmm. And so now all of a sudden, none of those little moments are little anymore because God is with us.
Yeah. Gene Kovalt, now experiencing the presence of God.
Knows something that none of us know.
Yeah. And there is a destiny waiting for all of us, and we would pray that you would draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And he has your best interest in mind. He has your eternity in mind. And he desires all to come to know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Make that decision to follow Jesus today, or at least entertain the idea that God does care about you. And call one of these great people that would talk you through how to have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to have faith, who is Jesus, why follow him, why did he die for your sins, why did he die for my sins. They can answer those questions. Dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.